Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, May the 9th. I'm glad you're tuned in and listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. And I do appreciate our faithful listeners that tune in and listen every day, and those of you that listen as you have opportunity. It is our privilege to be able to broadcast and send forth these messages that I hope are a blessing to you. Well, we're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, and I do have several prayer requests. Do pray for Brother and Sister Hall. They both had doctor appointments down in Nashville today. Mrs. Hall is scheduled for a procedure there, and I haven't heard how that procedure went as the time I'm making this. Matter of fact, I'm making this a little early, and so it's before she actually has the procedure. So I want to keep her in prayer. She was supposed to have it this afternoon. And so pray that God would bless and help in that. Also pray for Brother Hall as well as he sees the doctor. And then my wife has been having some difficulties. I've been mentioning to you that she's had some ear infections, been to the doctor in the urgent care, and then went back to the doctor yesterday. And then we spent all night last night in the emergency room as well. Last night she had a situation where her blood pressure spiked and got just exorbitantly high, and they wanted to get that down, and they did. And so she's to see a specialist tomorrow. Hope you'll pray for her as she goes through that. Pray that God would touch her and meet her needs. And then also want to keep praying for little Landon Rickard, that he grows and that God would strengthen and help him and others here in the church with the health problems and situations. And then we're getting ready to have revival next week. Want to be praying for revival and hope you'll pray for us along those lines. Well, it's time to pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you for being such a good God. I want to thank you, Lord, for the fact that although people let us down, you never do. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that I can find no fault in you. There's no fault in you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for the fact that I've never, as one song said, never been disappointed in the Lord. Though I've been disappointed in myself, and though I know the Lord's been disappointed in me, I want to thank you, Lord, that I've never been disappointed in you. You've been everything and more that I could ever ask for you to be. I want to thank you for being such a good Heavenly Father, such a good Savior. Father, I'm glad you're still willing to save sinners. And as we come and we've got these burdens on our heart, these needs of people with health needs, the most important need is the soul of man. The fact that sinners are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire if they don't get saved by the good grace of God. The fact that sinners are blind and doomed and headed towards destruction if they don't turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, I pray, bring them to Christ. Lord, I do pray, touch Mrs. Hall, help her through the procedure, bless and help Brother Hall as well at his doctor's appointment. Lord, I pray, help my wife, help her blood pressure to stay down, help her ears to get cleared up and things to go well there. Work in there what's needed to be done. Father, I pray that you'd help us. She go sees the specialist tomorrow, that you'd intervene in that. Lord, those unspoken requests that we've got, you know about those. Would you meet those needs and help there as well? Help little Landon as he grows. And Lord, take care of the situations there, that he'll outgrow some of the problems. And Lord, that you'd be pleased to have your way in his life. Now, Lord, I pray, bless the broadcast today. Use the preaching of the Word of God for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready to look into the Scriptures now as we're turning again to Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll be looking at that here in just a moment. But before we go to the Scripture, I've got a song by our family. This is a good song that I trust is a blessing to you, a song that's reflecting back and thinking about how good our God is and how good He has been to us. This song is entitled, I Have Been Blessed. This is the children singing. I hope it's a blessing to your heart as the Shepherd family sings, I Have Been Blessed. Our Bible reading for this week is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 6, particularly verse number 6. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Well, we looked in the first week on this series, we looked at the first few verses there, 1-3, and dealt with faith and its consequences. And then we looked at the first hero of faith that's listed here in Hebrews 11, verse number 4. We looked at Abel and the communication of faith, as the Bible said, that he, being dead, yet speaketh. And then yesterday we began looking at verses 5 and 6 and dealing with Enoch and the conveyance of faith, that he was carried away. He was translated that he should not see death. Again, verse 5 and 6 read, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. These heroes, as we call them, heroes of faith, are the elders it speaks about there in verse number 2, the elders that obtained a good report. I preached, first of all, yesterday on the parting by faith, the fact that Enoch was carried away. I looked at the cause, the character, and the calendar, and the time, the frame that went in there. Today, I want to begin looking at the privilege of faith. Not only was he translated, but he was translated that he should not see death. That's found in verse 5. That he should not see death. What a privilege! Amen. You see, this parting experience for Enoch was one of great privilege for him, in that he did not see or experience death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Only two men have escaped this appointment. Those two men are Enoch and Elijah. Enoch was the first to escape death, and several thousand years later, a prophet by the name of Elijah had the privilege of escaping death. 2 Kings 2:11 tells us that experience of Elijah. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, we need to be careful in reading the text about Elijah's translation, for the careless reader may think that he was carried up by a chariot of fire and horses of fire, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, but there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Amen. You read 2 Kings 2:1 and 2:11, and he went up in a whirlwind. Now, the chariot of fire, the horses of fire, I believe were said in the scripture that which simply parted Elijah and Elisha, for they were walking together. And this chariot of fire and horses of fire parted Elijah from Elisha. Now, both, when you look at religious artists, those pictures that very seldom really paint what the biblical text says, but they are paintings of Elijah riding a chariot of fire with horses of fire pulling that chariot. But we ought to get our theology from the Bible, not from religious paintings. Amen. Amen. Well, as I think about this and look at what the Bible says he went up in a whirlwind. Now, I'm going back to this thought about this privilege of this man Enoch. There are two people, I said, that have escaped death, but thousands of others are going to have this privilege and are going to escape death one of these days. I believe that Enoch's translation and really Elijah's whirlwind experience both are a portrayal of the rapture. Amen. The rapture in which Christ will return in the air to receive the redeemed unto himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Let's read that together. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How are we going to get that? We're going to get that by faith. The rapture is going to come. Paul thought he was going to go in the rapture, but he didn't. He had faith that he would. I've got faith that I will. And if I go through the way of death, I'm looking for the resurrection. If I don't go by the rapture, I'm going by the resurrection because my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, are you ready to go? The rapture could take place today. This could be the day when the Lord comes. The coming of the Lord could be today. Amen. Now, let's go on talking from that privilege that faith gave Enoch. Let's look too at the protesting of faith. Let me say something about this. Look again with me at verse number 5. The Bible tells us here about Enoch. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Look at this phrase. And was not found because God had translated him. That phrase. And was not found because God translated him. Apparently, just as it was in Elijah's day that some folks didn't believe that he went up in that whirlwind with the Lord, there were a number of people that didn't believe that Enoch was translated. Apparently, folks looked for him. You see, that was not found means apparently somebody went looking for him. And I'd say that many folk probably didn't believe that translation had taken place, and they protested against it. They said, you're crazy to believe that pie in the sky dream, that rapture theory. You're crazy. Now, I want you to note a couple of things about this protesting. I want you to notice the cause and the conduct. The cause of the protesting and the conduct of the protesters, all right, the protesting. What caused them to say that Enoch didn't go up? Well, it had to be unbelief. That's obviously the cause of their protesting. They could not believe that Enoch had been translated. Probably many people didn't believe that Enoch was actually all that godly. They probably thought, this is just a show. This is just a put on. He's a hypocrite really deep down. He's trying to dupe us as he's been duped by religion. And they didn't believe that. They could not believe that Enoch had been translated. After all, nobody else ever had. Amen. That experience had never happened to anybody else. But his experience is very much like Elijah's. We can read now of more than one. We know of Enoch's and then Elijah's homegoing. Matter of fact, one of the doubters of Elijah's homegoing, if we look at some of those things, it'd help us to recognize the attitudes of the protesters of Enoch's translation. You see, it was the students at Jericho in the prophet's school of the prophets, that doubted Elijah's homegoing. These were people that knew the Bible. These were people that knew something about God, and they knew that it was coming, according to 1 Kings 2:5. But when it happened, they doubted that it had happened. They told Elijah, behold now, verse number 16, chapter 2, 2 Kings, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. These seminarians, if I can say it that way, they so doubted God, they so dishonored God, that they thought that God might have taken up Elijah only to drop him in some mountain or some valley. Their theology about God, I believe, is pretty sad, pretty sick, to say the least. Amen. It's not based on faith, but it's based on unbelief. Listen, our God's not a mean God. Our God's not an unable God. If God can take us up, he can keep us up. Amen. Our God can grant us safety in our travel from here to glory. Amen. But see, theology is rooted and grounded, if it's rooted and grounded in unbelief, it does not honor God. Rather, it dishonors God. It is the theology that promotes such degrading ideas, that's what caused Jesus to come and denounce the theology of the Pharisees and the scribes. It's the same theology that today involves so much immorality. Amen. These theologians that really don't believe the Bible that they claim to be believing and that they claim to be preaching, they get involved with many women. They get involved immorally with women. And some of them even say that Jesus did that. Some of them even say that Jesus was a homosexual, a sodomite. That is unbelief, grounded in total unbelief. Amen. Many of these men live immorally. Well, I'm talking about the cause of the protesting. I want you to notice the conduct of the protesting. The Bible says was not found. Again, these three words tell us that the unbelievers were looking for Enoch. Therefore, they rejected whatever evidence there was that he was gone, that he was translated. Unbelief is like that, by the way. Unbelief has a great enmity for evidence. They don't like the evidence. They don't want to hear anything to the contrary of their preconceived and preformed ideas. Amen. Unbelief, that's just exactly what it is. It does not believe. It shows its enmity by ignoring the facts. It shows its enmity by acting as though those things do not exist. Amen. So there they go. They go on an extensive search for Enoch. They go on an extensive search for Elijah. But they didn't find them because God had taken them up. Amen. This enmity for the evidence of faith is not based on the brain. It's not based on the head of the individual, but rather on the heart. It's the unbelief in their heart. It's not the intellectual person. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a heart problem. Amen. They claim to be intellectual. They claim that they're smarter than everybody else. And the truth is they got a heart problem. It's not an intelligence problem. It's a heart problem. Amen. Well, unbelief willfully ignores the truth. They're willfully ignorant of these things. Why? Because their heart is not right with God, and they're not intending on getting right with God. Amen. Of course, unbelief tries to pass itself off as a head problem. It says, oh, it's not a heart problem. No. It wants to have unbelief esteemed as an intellectual thing. Amen. When in truth, it is nothing but a rebellious heart that refuses to obey God and honor Him. You will note in the case of Elijah that it was a religious crowd that championed the doubt, that showed enmity toward that evidence. Friend, it's not uncommon that religion denies evidence and shows no respect for evidence, shows animosity towards the evidence. Amen. Religion many times respects tradition rather than the evidence. It respects its seniority and stays with its own group. But can I tell you that faith and religion are not synonymous? It's not that if you've got faith, you're a religious person. Oh, no, not necessarily. You can be a religious person and be the biggest unbeliever you ever saw. Amen, that's right. Well, the mere fact of being religious does not mean that you have faith. Wicked, apostate preachers are religious, but they're not believers. Amen. The Bible says they're wicked and they don't believe God. Please allow me to take just a moment and show you what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, talking about these very men that claim to be preachers and yet they don't believe God. Here's what the Bible says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Here's men that claim to be preachers, but they're unbelievers, and they're headed towards destruction. Look at what verse 2 says, 2 Peter 2, 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh, they deny the truth of the Word of God. They deny the facts that are right there in front of their nose, right on the pages of God's holy Word. Verse number 3 goes on to say, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Friend, I'm saying to you that God has told us that these things are coming. God has told us that these men will be here. They have been here in the past. They are here now, and they will be here. But I'm going to tell you, real faith believes God's word. Unbelief, it doesn't matter if they claim to be a preacher, unbelief denies God's word, and unbelief sends people to hell. But I've run out of time today. Thank you for listening. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd. Until this same time tomorrow, may God bless you, is our prayer.